We heard a story, and I'm not going to necessarily talk a great deal about that story in Acts chapter 3 that Terry read, but something that Peter did when the person was healed and the crowd came, he said, "This was done by God. This was done by Jesus Christ, and let me tell you about him." And he told what he believed about Jesus Christ. Well, we have that same opportunity when God's hand is revealed in our lives through answered prayer, through guidance that he's given to us, perhaps through those things called God incidences, you know, not coincidences, but miracles that God brings into our life. They're God incidences. And we can point to those things and say, you know, I believe God did that, but I also believe this about God. And this gives us an opportunity, and this is why it's important for us to look at what we are confessing when we confess the Apostles' Creed, because it contains the basics of the Christian faith of all denominations who are Orthodox. In other words, not Greek Orthodox, but I'm saying Orthodox in their doctrine. The Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Orthodox Church are all in that category. And so we say they all hold on to the creed, don't they? Yes, they do. And they may have differences of opinion and practice and traditions, but that creed remains the same for all the church. And so it's important to look into it. And I'm going to look at this part today. I believe, again, this is what we get, the phrase I read before. I believe Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. Now this describes our trust in Christ's victory, and that's what I have entitled this message, Our Trust in Christ's Victory. And what this really is the heart of the gospel message. This is the very central heart of the gospel. And the sufferings of Christ brought our victory in Christ. That's what it's saying. The sufferings in Christ brought our victory in Christ. First phrase here. Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. Now this is an important statement. We often don't think about it. Why is Pilate, of all things, his name gets into a creed? Why? He was a rascal, wasn't he? Well, Pilate is in there for a very important reason. And this statement is important because everyone knew when this statement was being formed. Everyone knew that the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, was against putting Jesus to death. They knew that. I mean, he had been warned by his wife in a dream not to do it. You have nothing to do with that innocent man, she said. Have nothing to do with that innocent man. So in his uppermost in his mind, this guy's innocent, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because the second thing was he was a Roman governor under Roman law, and Roman law was just for every civic case. It had to maintain justice. And if you were a judge that did not maintain that justice, and the Rome found about it, you were out. So he was in jeopardy. His official position was in jeopardy when he condemned Jesus. And he really didn't condemn him. Here's what he says. After the third time they said, "Crucify him," and for the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty." He's innocent. "I find no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I'll have him punished and then release him to you." And he did have him flogged unjustly. But just to appease them, so they wouldn't do this. But they went ahead and kept saying it. And so he wanted to show publicly, "I am free from this man's guilt. I'm going to wash my hands." And it says he was washing his hands. "I'm innocent of the man of the blood of this man, this just man," he says. "It's your responsibility." He was washing his hands of the deal, but he couldn't get the blood off because he was the Roman governor. He was the civic. It was his word that allowed Jesus to suffer what he did. So why is Pilate's role in Christ's suffering an important part of the faith? It's because under the high standards of this Roman law, this just Roman civic law that was established throughout the Roman Empire, Jesus was innocent. Jesus was innocent. And what he suffered under Pontius Pilate, as we say, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. What he suffered under Pontius Pilate was injustice. And not just Christians realize this when they hear the story of the crucifixion. Every person that hears it, they know that Jesus was innocent. He was put to death in an unjust way. He died unjustly. But our faith states that this happened for a reason. 1 Peter chapter 3, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just," the innocent, the not guilty, "suffered for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." That he might bring us to God. The innocence of the Lamb of God is the reason that the sacrifice of that Lamb can take away the sin of the world. He died unjustly. That's our salvation. Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. The next phrase. Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. Now, I told you the last time I preached that the creed was formulated to fight heresy, to try to keep the doctrine pure, because heresy was making inroads into the church. And one of the things was this Gnosticism, this idea of Gnosis, the idea of Gnosis, knowledge, secret knowledge that could help people get to a spiritual plane where they were free from this evil material world. Well, the Gnostics that infiltrated into the church were teaching that Jesus only appeared to be human. He wasn't really a human. How could he be with a body that was material? No, no. That was just an appearance. He did not really die on the cross. He couldn't, because he wasn't really a human. And that thing that looked like his body that went into the tomb, it dissipated into thin air. The appearance finally left away. And when what he came back and what he appeared again was just his spirit. That's what the Gnostics taught, because they could not see Jesus attached to real flesh and blood. They could not see Jesus really part of the material world. So that's why this creed, in many, many respects, and many of the things it states, is against Gnosticism. But these three words are very, very important. Crucified, dead, and buried. They're important because they identify Christ's sufferings with the original curse upon the race of Adam. They identify Jesus' sufferings. And here's the three words that identify them. Tree, death, earth. Tree, death, earth. It was from a tree that the curse came. It was from a tree that the curse began upon this world, and it was on a tree that sin's curse was taken by Christ. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us in Galatians 3. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Why do we say Jesus died on a tree? And by the way, Terry was just remarking, you know the chapel, they didn't allow there to be a cross in there? Guess what's in there? There's a big tree. They can't get around it. Can't get around it. Sin brought death. Sin brought death to Adam's race through the death of his incarnate body. Jesus took our sins upon himself. It was a body that he took it upon himself. It says in Peter Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Jesus' death became our victory over sin and death. And then finally, the original curse, if you will remember, the original curse came not just upon the race of Adam. It came upon the ground itself, didn't it? It came upon the earth itself, over which Adam was responsible, and over which we, by the way, are still responsible, and that's why we ought to be Christian ecologists. Well, Christ's burial in an earthly tomb identified him with the first Adam, whose body went back to the earth, right, when he died. That was so important, because after his resurrection, Christ's victory over death is also the earth's victory over the curse, as well as ours. Crucified, dead, buried, a tree, death, the earth. Perfect parallels. Perfect parallels to identify what this gospel is about. It's about the whole ball of wax. It's about everything. It's about the very beginning, and it points toward the very end, which we're continuing to go on, but not yet. To make his identification with Adam more complete, Christ had to go where humanity went after death. And so it says in Peter, I read the passage before, I'll read it again. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. He went and preached to the spirits in prison. This is what the creed says. This is the next phrase. Jesus descended into hell. Well, we often think, why do you have to do that for? Well, you know, the creed doesn't say what Jesus did when he went to what is really called Hades. The translation in the Greek is Hades, the abode of the dead. But we call it hell, too. It's translated that way. The creed doesn't say what happened there, but this verse does. He preached. He preached there. He announced something. Well, does this mean that people can change their minds after death? Well, the creed doesn't say that. And that question is not answered by theology very well either. We don't know. But my personal opinion, you can always have your personal opinion, and I state it as my personal opinion, stands upon what Peter also said in 1 Peter chapter 4. This all comes out of 1 Peter, what I'm quoting. For this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead. When did that happen? Well, Peter just said in the previous verse, when Jesus was made alive in the Spirit and preached to those in prison, the spirits in prison. He preached the gospel even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, as everybody does, always judge people according to what they see, right, in this body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. Sounds to me, I don't know fully what that means, but sounds to me that, well, if Romans chapter 1 verse 16 is true, which says the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, if people can still change their mind and choose to believe in the gospel after death, then they can have a part in the everyone of that verse in Romans. Now, I'm not trying to preach heresy here. I'm trying to preach against it. But I'm saying this because it's from my opinion that anyone who, if this verse is true, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The big question is, can people change their minds after this life? And if you have the answer to that one, then you can have the answer to that question. But we know he descended into hell. It says, we say this in our belief, Jesus descended into hell. That in itself, whether you don't know what happened with the preaching there, that in itself is a victory for humanity. And I tell you why. Jesus went the whole gamut of human experience. God, who became human, went the whole route. Did not stop at death and say, I'll take a break now, I'll go back to heaven, come back down for the resurrection. I don't want to go to that place. Jesus went to the abode of the dead, the gloomy, for 3 days, spent it there. And from his birth to his death, and then even after death, as a human spirit without body, he knew what it meant to be a human who was a real human and lose his body and not have a body. And you know what? This gospel that was preached down there to other disembodied human spirits would only be good news. Would only be good news if it meant one thing. Well, you know, you get your body back. I'll show you 3 days from now. And he left them. And he has his body back. And that's the hope of resurrection. And that's our next point. Getting our bodies back. That's the ultimate human victory. The third day Jesus rose again from the dead. The incarnation of God in Christ was not a temporary sojourn with humanity. You know, just, I'll spend some time with them. God intended through His Son to share this human journey forever. That's an amazing, amazing part of this doctrine. And He sealed that intention by His resurrection in that body that will last forever and that will be in eternity forever and ever. A human body. Well, the resurrection is not only Christ's victory over death, but it's His absolute validation of everything He taught about God, about Himself, and about God's will. It shows that everything that I said was true because He was raised from death, like He said He was going to be. If He was not raised, then His words were only words, just words. But if He was raised, then He is the only hope of humanity for salvation and resurrection. He is humanity's only Savior. There's one more thing that I would like to point out. You know, when Pilate brought Jesus unjustly to the cross and He suffered injustice, there was a parallel there too. A parallel with the first Adam. You see, death came to the first Adam justly because he had sinned. Jesus had not. It came to Jesus unjustly. There's another parallel with the first Adam. But there's a second one, an even more fantastic one. When Jesus went into the tomb, back to the earth, as Adam did when he died, He also came up again from the earth the way the first Adam was first made out of the dust to be the Adam that came for our civilization, which fell. When Jesus rose again from the dead, He was coming out of the earth again. A resurrected Christ, and also called in Scripture the second Adam, to start a whole new human race of resurrected people that will fill this universe. The parallel is complete. What happened back at the very beginning, how evil came into the world and the effects of evil and the curse all across humanity that we see today, was dealt with in what we described in this creed. He suffered under Pontius Pilate unjustly. Crucified, dead, buried, tree, death, the earth, and finally, resurrection. Resurrection to bring about a full circle, to bring us back for what is called restoration, the restoring of creation, us being included and being primary as the leaders of that new creation. Praise the Lord. Jesus suffered injustice, a torturous death, a three-day trip to the abode of the dead, and God in His human flesh experienced the sufferings that brought victory to humanity. Christ's victory in those sufferings is our victory as we place faith in Him. He is the God-man that is alive in human flesh now and forevermore. Our hope is forever secure in Jesus Christ. That's our salvation. That's our hope. And that's our creed. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the creed. Lord, You've given us Your Word and this little synopsis of many doctrines within Your Word that keep us on track. This creed was also by Your hand. It's not Scripture, but it tells what Scripture says, and it gives us, like this little, a picture of Your complete redemption of humanity and this earth. Thank You for that, Lord, and thank You for the rest of the creed that we're going to hear about in days to come. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.